Smile. See the color that rises in her cheeks? Good God, she's blushing again. After last night? After the cursing, the screaming, the scratching? Now she blushes? Adorable, right? I think so, too. I didn't think cooking in the nude was very sanitary. I put my now empty bowl back on the tray. Do you like to cook? In the months we've worked together, I've learned a lot about Kate, but there's still more I want to know. She nods and finishes her cereal. You grow up over a diner, it kind of rubs off on you. Baking is sort of my thing. I make great cookies. If we can get the ingredients later, I'll make them. I smile devilishly. I'd love to eat your cookie, Kate. She shakes her head at me. Why do I have the feeling you're not talking about the chocolate chip variety? Remember that gift from God? I can't let it go to waste. That would be a sin. And I really can't afford any more of those. I drag her onto the bed and pull the t-shirt over her head. 'Cause I'm not. Now, about that cookie. Queen to b7. Bishop to g5. Games are fun. Knight to c6. Check. Games without clothes? They're more fun. Kate's brow furrows as she stares at the chessboard. This is our third match. Who won the other two? Please, like you even need to ask. We've been trading stories while we play. I told her about the time I broke my arm skateboarding when I was 12. She told me about the day she and Dolores dyed her hamster's fur pink. I told her about the nickname Matthew and I have for Alexandra. Kate pinched my nipple after that one. Hard. She remembered the day I called her an Alexandra in my office. It's comfortable, easy, enjoyable. Not as enjoyable as screwing, but a close second. We're lying on the bed on our sides, our heads resting on our hands, the board in the middle. Oh, and in case you forgot, we're naked. Now, I know some women have issues with their bodies. Maybe you've got a little extra junk in the trunk. Get over it. Doesn't matter. Naked kicks modest's ass every single time. Men are visual. We wouldn't be fucking you if we didn't want to look at you. You can write that down if you like. Kate has no problem being naked. She's definitely comfortable in her own skin. And it's sexy. Damn sexy. Are you going to move or just burn a hole in the board looking at it? Don't rush me. I sigh. Fine. Take all the time you need. There's nowhere for you to go anyway. I've got you cornered. I think you're cheating. My eyes open wide. That hurts, Kate. I'm wounded. I don't cheat. I don't need to. She raises a brow at me. Do you have to be so cocky? I certainly hope so. And talking dirty will get you nowhere. Stop stalling. She sighs and accepts defeat. I make my final move. Checkmate. Want to play again? She rolls onto her stomach and bends her knees so her feet almost touch her head. My cock twitches at the sight. Let's play something else. Twister? Hide the salami? Kama Sutra charades? Do you have Guitar Hero? Do I have Guitar Hero? The jousting of our millennia? The coolest video game of all time? Of course I do. Maybe you should pick something else, I say. If I keep beating you like this, it could damage your fragile female ego. Kate glares at me. Set it up. Her eagerness should have been a red flag. It was a slaughter. Absolutely brutal. She kicked my ass from one end of the apartment to the other. In my defense, Kate knows how to play a real guitar. That, and she made us put clothes on. How frigging mean is that? I kept trying to catch a glimpse of that succulent little ass peeking out from under my t-shirt. It distracted me. I never had a chance. So, by now you're probably wondering what the hell I'm doing, right? I mean, this is me. One ride per customer, no rewinds, no repeats. So why am I wasting away my Saturday afternoon playing Adam and Eve with Kate? Here's the deal. I've worked for months to get to where she is right now. I've spent night after endless night wanting, dreaming, fantasizing about it. Let's say you get stranded on a desert island and can't eat for a week, and then the rescue ship finally shows up with a big plate of food. Would you take one taste and throw the rest away? Of course not. You'd scarf down every bite, devour every crumb, lick the plate clean. That's what I'm doing, hanging out with Kate until I'm full. Don't read any more into it than that. Did I mention Kate has a tattoo? Oh, yeah. A slut tag. A tramp stamp. Call it whatever you like. It's inked just above the swell of her ass on her lower back. It's a small turquoise butterfly. It's tasty. I'm tracing it with my tongue right now. God, Drew. After the Guitar Hero disgrace, Kate decided she wanted a shower. And get this. She asked if I wanted to go first. Silly, silly girl. Like showering single file was even a consideration. I stand up and tease her from behind. She's hotter than the fucking water that hits us on all sides. I move her hair to the side as I feast on that scrumptious neck. My voice is husky as I tell her, "Open your legs for me, Kate." She does. More. She does again. I bend my knees and slide my cock home. Jesus. It's been 2 hours since I was deep inside her like this. Too fucking long. A lifetime. We moan together. Her breasts are slick from the soap as I slide my fingers to her nipples and play with them in a way I know makes her purr. She drops her head back against my shoulder and scratches her nails up my thighs. I hiss at the sensation and pick up the pace just a little. Then she leans forward, bending at her waist and bracing her hands against the tiles. I cover them with my own, threading our fingers together. I pump in and out, unhurriedly. I kiss her back, her shoulder, her ear. "You feel so fucking good, Kate." Her head rolls on her neck and she moans, "God, you feel so hard, so big." That phrase? Hearing that phrase is the dream of every man who has ever lived. I don't care if you're a freaking monk, you want to hear it. Yeah, I've heard it before. But coming from Kate, in that sweet voice, it's like I'm hearing it for the first and only time. And then she's begging. "Harder, Drew, please." I do as she asks, with a groan. I leave one hand on the wall and bring the other to her clit, so each time I push forward, she bucks up against my fingers. She moans at the contact. Then she's demanding, "Harder, Drew. Fuck me harder." When her command reaches my ears, I snap, like the roof caving in on a raging house fire. I push into her until she's pinned against the wall, her cheek resting on the cold tile. I thrust rough and fast. Kate's gratified screams echo off the walls, and we come in perfect sync. It's long and intense and fucking glorious. As the pleasure wanes, she turns, wraps her arms around my neck, and kisses me slowly. Then her head is on my chest, and we stand together under the spray. I can't keep the awe out of my voice as I say, "God, it gets better every time." She laughs. "You too? I thought I was the only one who felt it." She looks up at me, bites her lip, and pushes my wet hair back from my eyes. It's a simple gesture, but there's so much emotion behind it. Her touch is gentle, the look in her eyes so cherishing, like I'm the most wonderful thing she's ever seen, like I'm some kind of treasure. Normally, a look like that would have me ducking for cover, heading for the nearest exit. But as I stare at Kate's face, one hand holding her waist, the other moving through her hair, I don't want to run. I don't even want to look away. And I don't ever want to let go. No, I feel it too. Chapter 15. I'm not boring you with these sordid details, am I? I could shorten this whole thing by simply saying, Kate and I fucked each other's brains out all weekend. But that's not really much fun. And it wouldn't give you the full picture. By taking the long way around, you get all the facts, and a bird's eye view of all our little moments. Moments that seemed silly and insignificant at the time. But now that I have the flu, they're the only things I can think about. Every minute of every day. Have you ever gotten a song stuck in your head? Sure you have. Everybody does. And maybe it's a beautiful song. Maybe it's even your favorite. But it's still annoying, isn't it? It's second rate. Because you don't want to just hear it in your brain. You want it on the radio or live in concert. Replaying it in your mind is just a cheap imitation. A mocking, frigging reminder that you're not able to hear the real thing. Do you see where I'm going with this? Don't worry, you will. Now, where was I? That's right, Saturday night. This is the perfect pillow. We just ordered food, Italian, and we're waiting for it to arrive. Kate is sitting on my couch amid an oasis of pillows and blankets, and she's holding one bedroom pillow in her lap. The perfect pillow? Yes, she says. I'm very high maintenance when it comes to pillows, and this one is perfect. Not too flat, not too puffy, not too hard, not too soft. I smile. Good to know, Goldilocks. We've decided to watch a movie. On-demand cable is the second greatest invention of our time, the first, of course, being the big-screen plasma TV. I get up to fetch the remote while Kate fishes something out of her bag on the floor. Have I mentioned we're still naked? We are. Very. It's liberating. Fun. All the good parts are easy to reach. And the view is fantastic. As I turn to make my way back to the couch, a now familiar scent assails my nostrils. Sweet and flowery. Sugar and springtime. I look at Kate and find her rubbing lotion on her arms. I grab the bottle from her, like a dog snapping at a bone. What is this? I bring the bottle to my nose and inhale deeply, then fall back against the pillows with a satisfied moan. Kate laughs. Don't snort it. It's moisturizer. I didn't realize fighting dry skin got you so revved up. I look at the bottle. Vanilla and lavender. I take another deep sniff. It smells like you. Every time you're near me, you smell like a bouquet of fucking sunshine with brown sugar on top. She laughs again. Ah, Drew, I didn't know you were a poet. William Shakespeare would be so jealous. Is it edible? She makes a face. No. Too bad. I'd have poured it on my food like a rich hollandaise. Guess I'll just have to settle for tasting it on Kate. Now that I think about it, that is the preferable option. They make a bubble bath, too. Since you like it so much, I'll get some. It's the first reference she's made about a next time, a hookup at some later date, a future. Unlike my past bump and grinds, the suggestion of a second go-round with Kate doesn't fill me with indifference or irritation. Instead, I'm eager, excited about the prospect. I stare at her for a moment, soaking in the strange enjoyment that comes from just looking at her. I could make a full-time profession out of watching Kate Brooks. So, she asks, did we decide on a movie? She settles up against me, and my arm goes naturally around her. I was thinking Braveheart. Ugh, what is it with that movie? Why are all men addicted to it? Ah, the same reason women are obsessed with the freaking Notebook. That is what you were going to suggest, right? She smiles slyly, and I know I guessed right. The Notebook is romantic. It's fucking gay. She hits me in the face with the perfect pillow. It's sweet. It's nauseating. I have friends who are flaming homosexuals, and that movie is too gay for them. She sighs dreamily. It's a love story, a beautiful love story, the way everyone tried to keep them apart. But then years later they found each other again. It was fate. I roll my eyes. Fate, please. Fate's a friggin' fairy tale, sweetheart, and the rest of the story is a bonfire of bullshit, too. Real life doesn't work like that. But that's why the divorce rate is so high, because movies like that give women unreasonable expectations. And the same goes for romance novels. Alexandra practically took Stephen's head off once because he borrowed one of my Playboys. Yet every summer, there's the bitch, lying out on the beach with her Fabio-covered soft porn. Yeah, I said porn. That's what it is. And it's not even good porn. He moved his trunk-like manhood toward the weeping petals of her womanly center. Who the fuck talks like that? Real guys don't think like Nolan or Niles or whatever the hell that douchebag's name was. Noah. And any man who would build a room in his house for some chick who blew him off, any man who would wait years for that same girl to show up at his door knowing she was with someone else, he's not a man at all. What is he? A big, hairy, unwaxed vagina. Was that too crude? I'm afraid that it was. Until Kate covers her mouth with her hands and falls over on the couch, convulsing in a fit of deep, snorting laughter.
Oh, my God, you're such a pig. How do you even come up with these things?
I shrug. I call them like I see them. I won't apologize for it. Her laughter dies down, but the smile's still there.
Okay, no notebook.
Thank you. Then her whole face lights up.
Ooh, how about Anchorman, the legend of Ron Burgundy?
You like Will Ferrell?
Are you kidding? Have you seen Blades of Glory?
It's one of my favorites. The Iron Lotus? Classic. She wiggles her eyebrows at me and quotes expertly. You got some sweet cream to soothe that nasty burn? I laugh. God, I love... And then I choke. And cough. And clear my throat. I love that movie. I fiddle with the remote, and we lie down on the couch as Anchorman starts. Okay. Don't get crazy on me now. Let's just all calm down for a second, shall we? It was a simple mistake, a slip of the tongue, nothing more. My tongue's been getting quite the workout lately, so I think it's allowed. After eating, we continue watching Ron Burgundy lying against each other on the couch, her back to my front. My face is in her hair again, inhaling the scent that I've become addicted to. I drift in and out of sleep. Kate's laughter vibrates against my chest as she asks softly,
Is that what you thought of me?
Hmm?
When I first started at the firm, did you think I was a scorpion woman?
She's referring to a line Will Ferrell just delivered in the movie. I smile drowsily. When I first saw you that day in the conference room, it knocked me right on my ass. After that, I just knew nothing would ever be the same. She must have liked my answer, because a minute later, she rubs her hips back against me, and my half-erect cock slides between the cheeks of her ass. I don't care how exhausted a guy is. He could have just worked a 35-hour shift hauling sandbags across state lines. That move will always, always wake him up. My lips find their way to her neck as my hand skims across her stomach. God, Kate. I can't stop wanting you. It's getting kind of ridiculous, isn't it? I feel her breathing pick up. She turns to face me, and our lips meet. But before we go further, my curiosity gets the better of me, and I pull back. What did you think of me when we first met? Her eyes roll to the ceiling as she contemplates her answer. And she smiles.
Well, that first night at REM, I thought you were...
Lethal. You just radiated sex and charm. Her fingers trace my lips and brows. That smile, your eyes, they really should be illegal. It was the only time in all my years with Billy that I wished I was single. Wow.
And then at the office I'd hear the secretaries talking about you, how you had a different girl every weekend. But after a while, I saw that there was so much more to you. You're brilliant and funny. You're protective and caring. You shine so bright, Drew. Everything you do, how you think, the things you say, the way you move, it's blinding. I feel lucky just being close to you.
I'm speechless. If any other woman said that to me, I'd agree with her. I'd tell her she was lucky to be with me, 'cause I'm the best of the best. There's no one better. But coming from Kate, from someone whose mind I envy, whose opinion I actually admire, I just don't have any words. So, once again, I let my actions do the talking. My mouth presses against hers, and my tongue begs for entrance. But when I try to roll us over so I'm on top, Kate has other ideas. She pushes me on the shoulders until I'm on my back. Then she moves her mouth over my jaw and down my neck, burning a trail down my chest and stomach. I swallow hard. She takes my cock in her hand and pumps slowly, and I'm already stiff as steel. I was hard the minute she started talking. Jesus, Kate. I keep my eyes open and watch from above as she wets her lips, opens her mouth, and slides me in. Fuck. She takes my entire length in deep and sucks hard as she pulls back slowly. Then she does it again. I'm sort of a connoisseur of blowjobs. For a guy, they're the most convenient kind of sex. No fuss, little mess. If any of you out there have never given one, I'll let you in on a little secret. Once a guy's dick is actually in your mouth, he'll be so happy, it doesn't really matter what you do with it afterward. That being said, there are certain moves that make it better. Kate pumps me with her hand while increasing the suction at the tip with her hot little mouth. Like that, for instance. She swirls her tongue around the head like she's licking a lollipop. Where the fuck did she learn that? I moan helplessly and grip the cushions on the couch. She takes me all the way down her throat once, then twice. Then she switches to fast, short pumps with her mouth and hand. It's magnificent. I've been blown by the best of them, and I swear to God, Kate Brooks has the technique of a freaking porn star. I try to hold still, conscious that this really is her first time, but it's difficult. And then her hands are under me, on my ass, urging me upward. She guides my hips back and forth, pushing me in and out of her mouth. Holy God. She removes her hands, but my hips continue to move in short, shallow jabs. I'm close to losing it, but I always give a warning first. If a guy doesn't warn you, dump him fast. He's a fucking prick. Kate, baby, if you don't move now, God, I'm gonna... Coherent words are apparently beyond my ability at the moment. Still, I think she gets the idea. But she doesn't move away. She doesn't stop. I look down at the very moment Kate opens her eyes and looks up. And that's all it takes. It's the moment I've fantasized about since I first saw her. Those big brown doe eyes staring up at me as my cock slides between her perfect lips. With a whimper of her name, I fill her mouth with a pulsing stream. Kate moans and takes it all in, swallowing greedily. After what seems like an eternity, I start to come down. You know when you first step out of a jacuzzi, how your limbs feel like jello? Yeah, that's me, right now. I'm breathing hard and grinning like the village idiot as I pull her up by the shoulders and kiss her deep. Some men are grossed out about kissing a woman whose mouth they just came in. I'm not one of them. How in holy hell did you learn to give head like that? Kate laughs at the wonder in my voice, and she spreads out on top of me. Dolores dated this guy in college. He was really into porn. He used to leave movies at our dorm all the time, and once in a while, I'd watch them. The next time I see Dolores Warren, remind me to drop to my knees and kiss her ass. Once the movie ended, Kate and I decided to have a full-out Will Ferrell marathon. We're halfway through Blades of Glory when my phone rings. We're still on the couch, lying comfortably side by side, and I don't really feel like getting up. Or talking to anyone not currently in the room, for that matter. I let the answering machine pick up. Jack's voice fills the room, yelling over the sound of pounding music in the background. Drew! Dude, pick up!
Where the fuck are you?
He pauses a moment, and I'm guessing he realizes I'm not going to pick up.
You have got to come out tonight, man. I'm at Club 69, and there's someone here who wants to see you.
This doesn't sound promising. I start to sit up, my Y-chromosomal instincts telling me to turn the machine off, now. But I'm not fast enough. And a sultry female voice comes out of Pandora's box.
Drew, it's Stacy. I've missed you, baby. I want to take another taxi ride. Remember that night when I sucked your dick so good?
My hand slaps down on the off button. Then I glance sideways at Kate. Her face is frozen on the TV, her expression indecipherable. I should probably say something. What the fuck should I say? Sorry, one of my other cum dumps called? Nah, for some reason, I don't think that one would go over very well. She sits up stiffly.
I should probably get going.
Shit. Frigging Jack. Kate gets up, holding my pillow close against her, covering herself. Well, that's not a good sign. An hour ago, she was pushing her snatch against my face. Now she doesn't even want me looking at it. God damn it. She walks past me toward the bedroom. Even with my stomach churning, I can't help but admire the sway of her tight ass as she goes by. Predictably, my cock springs up like Dracula rising from his coffin. When I was 10, we had a dog. He humped everything and anything. From the maid's leg to my parents' four-poster bed, he was insatiable. My parents were mortified whenever company stopped by. But now I realize he really wasn't a bad dog. It wasn't his fault. I feel your pain, Fido. I sigh and get up to follow Kate. By the time I make it to the bedroom, her skirt's on and her blouse is buttoned. She doesn't look at me when I walk in.
Kate, do you know where my other shoe is?
Her eyes gaze at the floor, the bed, anywhere but at me.
Kate, maybe it's under the bed.
She kneels down. You don't have to go. She doesn't look up.
I don't want to get in the way of your plans.
Who has plans? The only plan I had was to gorge myself on the juicy buffet between her thighs. Again.
I don't. It's okay, Drew. You know, this has been nice.
Nice? She calls what we did last night and all day, in the bedroom, the kitchen, the shower, up against the hallway wall, nice? Is she fucking joking? She must see the look on my face, because she stops mid-sentence and raises an eyebrow.
I'm sorry, was that the wrong adjective? Did I insult your fragile male ego?
I stutter indignantly.
Well, yeah.
What word would you prefer?
FYI. I'm still naked, and if my dick's posture is any indication, it doesn't take Einstein to figure out what I'd really prefer at the moment. Stupendous? Transcendent? Unparalleled? I punctuate each word with a predatory step in her direction. She matches my forward momentum with nervous steps backward until her ass bumps up against my dresser. I smirk down at her. You're a graduate of the most prestigious business program in the country. My honor demands that you come up with something, anything, better than nice. She stares at my chest a minute. Then she looks up into my eyes. She looks serious.
I should go.
She tries to walk past me, but I grab her arm and pull her back.
I don't want you to go.
No, don't ask me why. I won't answer. Not now. I'm only focused on here and her. The rest doesn't matter. She looks at my hand on her arm and then at me.
Drew,
don't leave, Kate. I pick her up, sit her on the dresser, and step between her legs.
Stay.
I kiss her neck and nibble her ear. She shivers. I whisper, stay with me, Kate. I look into her eyes. Please. She bites her lip. Then smile slowly.
Okay.
I smile in return, and then my mouth is on hers. The kiss is long and slow and deep. I push her skirt up, skimming the skin of her thighs with my fingertips. She's still not wearing any underwear. You've got to love the easy access. I kneel down in front of her.
Drew.
It's a half question, half moan. Shh. If I'm going to top nice, I need to concentrate. And there's not a single coherent word between us for the rest of the night. Chapter 16. Every superhero has a hideout, a sanctuary. At least all the good ones do. I have one too. My own personal bat cave. It's where the magic happens. Where I've built the legend that is my career. My home office. It's a male haven. A pussy-free zone, in the good kind of way. Every guy should have one. I decorated it myself, each piece, every detail. If my car is my baby, this room is my firstborn, my pride and joy. Mahogany floors, hand-woven oriental rugs, English leather couches. A stone fireplace and built-in bookshelves line one wall. Behind my desk is a full picture window that offers a priceless view of the city. And in the corner is a card table where the guys and I drink aged scotch, smoke Cuban cigars, and play poker once a month. It's the only time Steven is allowed to come out and play. I'm at my desk, in boxers, working on my laptop. It's what I do every Sunday afternoon. Kate? No, she's still here. But after our fuckathon last night, I figured I should let her sleep in. Recharge the batteries. I canceled brunch with my mother and blew off the basketball game with the boys. And now I'm staring at the final draft of a contract when a sleepy voice calls me from the doorway.
Hey.
I look up and smile. Hi. She's wearing another one of my t-shirts. The black Metallica one. It goes past her knees. That and the sleep-must hair make her look sweet but sexy. Alluring. Compared to Kate, work's not looking so appetizing anymore. She runs a hand through her hair as her eyes sweep over the room.
This is a beautiful office, Drew. Breathtaking.
Kate is the type of woman who appreciates the importance of an awe-inspiring workspace. If you want to be a winner, you need an office that says you already are one. Thanks. It's my favorite room in the apartment.
I could see why.
She picks up a frame from one of the shelves and shows it to me.
Who's this?
It's a picture of Mackenzie and me at the beach last summer. She buried me up to my neck in the sand. My niece, Mackenzie. She looks at the photo and smiles.
She's adorable. I bet she worships you.
Yeah, she does. And I'd pretty much cut my hand off for her if she asked me to, so it's equitable. I'd love for you to meet her one day. Kate doesn't hesitate.
I'd really like that.
She makes her way over to my chair and perches herself on my knee. I lean forward till my lips find hers, my tongue driving deep into the mouth I know now so well. She snuggles back against my bare chest.
You're so warm.
She rests her head on my shoulder and looks toward my computer.
What are you working on?
I sigh. This deal with Jarvis Technologies. Jarvis is a communications company. They're looking to acquire a broadband satellite subsidiary. I rub my eyes.
Problems?
I'm usually a lone wolf when it comes to business. I don't confide. I don't share. My opinion is the only one that counts. But talking to Kate about business is kind of like talking to myself. I'm actually interested in hearing what she has to say. Yeah, the CEO is all brains and no balls. I've got the perfect deal lined up, but he won't pull the trigger. He's nervous about the risk. Her finger traces my jaw.
Every acquisition has risks. You have to show him the payoff is worth it.
That's what I'm trying to do. She perks up then.
You know, I have something that could help you out. One of my old study partners from Wharton designed a template for a new valuation model. If you run it and the numbers are solid, it might just be enough to persuade Jarvis to take the plunge.
I'm starting to think Kate's brain turns me on almost as much as her ass. Almost.
It's on a disc in my bag. I'll get it for you.
As she stands to go, I grab the bottom of her shirt and pull her back down on my lap. so there's no way she can miss the perpetual hard-on I'm sporting. My arms wrap around her waist, trapping her. My mouth's against her ear. Before we get into that, there's something I want to do first. There's amusement in her voice as she asks, "What do you want to do, Drew?" I pick her up, sweep everything off my desk, and lay her down. "You." We spend the rest of the day working and talking and laughing. I tell Kate about Mackenzie in the bed word jar that's sucking me dry. She tells me more about growing up at Greenville and her parents' diner. We eat lunch on the balcony. It's cold, so Kate sits on my lap to keep warm and feeds me with her fingers. I can't remember ever having such a good time, and we aren't even screwing. Go figure. It's after 10. We're getting ready for bed. Kate is in the shower. Alone. She took my razor and kicked me out. Unlike women, guys don't need privacy. There is no bodily function a man won't perform in front of an audience. We have no shame. But whatever. If Kate needs her space, she can have it. I keep myself busy while I wait for her. I change the sheets. I take the box of condoms out of my drawer to have a few within easy reach. Then my heart sinks. And if he could, my dick would cry. The box is empty. Fuck. My thoughts exactly. Great minds think alike. I turn at Kate's voice. She stands in the doorway, one hand on her hip, the other braced against the doorframe. She's beautifully, wonderfully naked. Her snatch is shaven even closer than before, just a whisper of dark curls. Sweet Christ. I keep waiting for the time when Kate's body doesn't get to me. When I feel, been there, done that. So far, it's just the opposite. It's like eating lobster. If you've never eaten it, you think, eh, maybe. But once you've tasted it, the chance to eat it again gets your mouth watering like the goddamn Mississippi River. Because now you know how fucking delicious it really is. Even just the thought of her. God. I may end up being the first man in history capable of masturbating without touching himself. Look, Mom, no hands. She walks toward me, wraps her arms around my neck, and kisses me slowly, her tongue coming out to trace my lower lip in the sexiest frigging way. I force myself to pull back. Kate, wait. We can't. Her hand slides into my boxers, around my already hard cock. She gives it a few pumps.
I think someone disagrees with you.
I press my forehead to hers. My voice sounds strangled. No. I mean, we're out. Condoms. I put my hand over hers, stopping her strokes so I'll be able to string a few words together that actually make sense. I have to go to the store on the corner and get more. And then, God, then I'll fuck you all night. Kate looks down and swallows. Her voice is hushed.
Or we could not use them.
What? I've never gone bareback, ever. Not even during my younger years. I've always loved my dick much too much to have it shrivel up and fall off.
I'm on the pill, Drew. And Billy, he's a lot of things, but he'd never cheat on me. Have you been tested?
Sure I have. Once a month, for as long as I can remember. It's a must with my lifestyle. An occupational hazard, you could say. My voice practically squeaks.
Yeah, I have. I'm good, but are you sure?
I've been offered a lot of things in bed. Every kind of kinky contraption and role play you can imagine. Some you probably can't. Fucking without protection has never been one of them. It's not smart or safe. A woman can say she's on the pill, but how do you really know? People can tell you they're clean, but I wouldn't believe them. That would require trust. And trust has never been a factor in my sex life. It's not about sharing, getting to know someone and letting them know me. It's about getting off and getting the girl off in the process, period.
I want to feel you, Drew. I want you to feel me. I don't want anything between us.
I gaze at her eyes, the way she's looking at me. It's just like she did after our shower yesterday. Like she's giving me something, a gift, that's just for me, only for me. And it's her, because she trusts me, has faith in me, believes in me. And you know what? I don't want Kate to ever look at me any other way. Kate, these last couple days with you have been amazing. I don't even know how to describe what I'm feeling. I have no idea how to tell her. I make my living off the ability to communicate, by being able to verbalize an idea, describe a plan. But at this moment, words are pitifully inadequate. So I grab her by the upper arms and drag her against me. She moans in surprise or excitement. I'm not sure which. Her tongue slides against mine, and her hands pull at my hair. Somehow, we end up on the bed, side by side, mouths fused together, my boxers on the floor. My hand slides over her tits, down her stomach, and between her legs. I groan. Fuck, Kate, you're already wet. And she is. I've barely touched her, and she's dripping for me. Jesus. I've never wanted anyone or anything as much as I want her at this moment. She nips at my neck as I slide my fingers inside. Her pussy closes around them like a goddamn glove, and we both moan loudly. Then Kate's hands are on me, all over me, cupping my balls, stroking my cock, scratching my chest and back. I roll her under me. I need her, now. I tease her open with my dick, coating the tip with her sweet cream. Heat rolls off her, from her. She's like a fire, calling to me, drawing me in. I push inside slowly but to the hilt, and my eyes fall closed in perfect fucking ecstasy. She's bare, unguarded, all around me. She feels more. Wetter, hotter, tighter. More in every way. It's unbelievable. Kate grips my ass, kneading and massaging, and urging me in deeper. But I pull all the way out, just so I can slide back in again. Christ almighty. I set the rhythm. It's not slow or sweet or tender. It's brutal and hot and fucking amazing. High-pitched whimpers escape through her parted lips. Then my mouth is on hers again, cutting them off. And we're grasping at each other, desperate and raw. Like it's the first time. Like it's the last time. She's curled around me in every way. Her cunt envelops my cock. Her legs surround my waist. Her arms encircle my neck. All wrapped tight like some exquisite vice. And I'm burrowing into her. Wanting to be closer. Needing to be deeper. God, I'd fucking crawl inside her if I could and never want out. Kate's hands find mine. Our fingers fold together, and I bring them, joined, up over her head. Our foreheads touch, every pant, every breath mixing and mingling. Her hips move with mine like the flow of the ocean, back and forth, in frenzied unison, together. Our eyes lock.
God, Drew, don't stop. Please, don't ever stop.
I'm drowning in her. I can barely draw a breath, but somehow I grind out, I won't. I'll never stop. I feel it when she comes. Every scorching wet inch of her tightens blissfully around me, and it's so good, so savagely intense I want to fucking weep from the pleasure. I bury my face in her neck, inhaling her, devouring her, and then I'm coming with her, within her, bathing her insides with each carnal thrust. Sweet electricity races through me as one word falls from my lips over and over again. Kate. 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 It's miraculous. After several moments, our bodies still. The only sounds in the room are our rapid breaths and pounding heartbeats. Then Kate whispers,
Drew, are you all right?
I lift my head and find her beautiful eyes looking at me with concern. Her hand cups my cheek gently.
You're shaking. Have you ever tried to take a picture of something really far away, and you look through the lens and the whole scene is a blurry blob? So you mess with the focus, you zoom in and out, and then the camera whirls, and seconds later, boom, instant clarity. Everything snaps into place. The picture is as clear as crystal. That's what it's like for me, right now, looking at Kate. Suddenly, it's all so obvious. So frigging clear. I'm in love with her. Totally. Helplessly. Pathetically. In love. Kate owns me. Body and soul. She's all I think about. She's everything I never thought I wanted. She's not just perfect. She's perfect for me. I'd do anything for her. Anything. I want her near me. With me. All the time. Forever. It's not just the sex. It's not just her gorgeous body or her brilliant mind. It's not just that she makes me think or how eager she is to challenge me. It's more than any of that. It's all of it. It's her. I've broken every goddamn rule I've ever set for myself to be with her. And it wasn't just to fuck her. It was to have her. To keep her. How did I not see it before? How come I didn't know? Hey, she kisses me softly on the lips. Where'd you go? I lost you for a minute. Are you okay? I swallow harshly. Kate, I take a deep breath. I'm fine. I smile and kiss her back. I think you just wore me out. She laughs.
Wow. Never thought that would happen.
Yeah, tell me about it. Chapter 17. I know what you're thinking. What the fuck? If I realize that I'm in love with Kate, and she's obviously infatuated with me, how does she end up back with Billy, why don't you just die already, Warren? Excellent question. We're almost there. But first, a science lesson. What do you know about frogs? Yes, I said frogs. Did you know that if you put a frog in boiling water, he'll jump out? But if you put one in cold water and heat it slowly, he'll stay in and boil to death. He won't even try to get out. He won't even know he's dying until it's too late. Men are a lot like frogs. Was I freaked out by my little epiphany? Of course I was. It was huge, life-changing. No more strange pussy. No more stories for the guys. No more Saturday nights. But none of that mattered anymore, honestly, because it was too late. I was already boiling for Kate. That whole night I watched her sleep. And made plans. For us. The things we'd do together. The places we'd go. Tomorrow and next weekend and next year. I practiced what I would say. How I would tell her about my feelings. I imagined her reaction and how she would confess she felt the same way. It was like a movie. Some horrible chick flick that I would never go see. The dashing playboy meets the take-no-prisoners girl of his dreams. And she snags his heart forever. I should have known then that it was too good to be true. The best things usually are. Santa Claus, the male G-spot, heaven. The list is endless. You'll see. We're walking down Fifth Avenue. Instead of wasting precious time driving across town to Kate's apartment, we stopped at Saks on the way to work, where I bought Kate a new navy Chanel suit. Can't have her doing the walk of shame into the office now, can I? When she was trying on clothes for me, I swear, I felt just like Richard fucking Gere in Pretty Woman. Kate even bought me a tie. See? Then she insisted on stopping by the lingerie department to replace the panties I'd so erotically destroyed. I put up a good fight over that one, but I lost. You ladies ought to know, going commando,
That's sexier than leather and lace and whips and chains all put together. We stop by Starbucks and grab some much-needed caffeine. As we walk back outside, I pull Kate close. I cup her cheek and kiss her. She tastes like coffee, light and sweet. She pushes my hair back out of my eyes and smiles. I'll never get tired of looking at her or kissing her. Pussy whipped, thy name is Drew. Yeah, I know. It's okay. I don't mind. 'Cause if this is the dark side, sign me up. Seriously. Don't be surprised if I start skipping down the street singing zip-a-da-dee-fucking-doo-dah. I'm that happy. Kate and I turn the corner, holding hands and smiling at each other like two idiots who popped one too many antidepressants. Nauseating, isn't it? We need to stop here for just a minute. You should look at us, how we are right here, right now, hand in hand. You should remember this moment. I do. We were perfect. Then we get to our building. I open the door for Kate and walk in behind her. And the first thing I see are daisies. Large white daisies with cheerful yellow centers. Some in vases on the security desk, others in bunches tied with ribbon. Some are scattered singly over the floor, random petals here and there. In the middle of the lobby is a circle of even more daisies. In the center of that circle is Billy Warren, and he's got his guitar. Fuck me. No, that doesn't quite cover it. Fuck me with a chainsaw. Yeah, that's about right. You ever see a singing asshole? Here's your chance. I was so blind I didn't know how much it would hurt to let you go. I want to heal us, want to mend. Come back to me again. If I didn't hate him so much, and the jackal who spawned him, I'd have to admit he's not half bad. I watch Kate closely. Every emotion that crosses her face, each feeling that dances in her eyes. You know when you have a stomach virus, and you lie around all day with a bucket at your side because you feel like you're going to puke at any second? But then there's that moment when you know it's coming. You break out in that cold, full-body sweat. Your head pounds, and you feel your throat expand to make room for the bile that's charging up from your stomach. That's me, right now. I actually put my coffee down and look around for the nearest garbage can just to be sure I'll make it there in time. And I need to say I'm sorry for all the pain I caused. Please give your heart back to me. I'll keep it safe for eternity. We belong together. We've always known it's true. There will never be another. My soul cries out for you. Any other time, any other girl, I would bury Warren. Without even trying. He can't hold a candle to me. I'm a goddamn Porsche. He's a friggin' pickup truck that can't pass inspection. But this is Kate. They have a history, a decade's worth. And that, kiddies, makes him some major league competition. In the dark of night, it's your name I call. I can't believe I almost lost it all. One more chance, one breath, one try. No more reasons to say goodbye. I want to pick Kate up, caveman style, and carry her out of here. I want to lock her in my apartment where he can't see her, can't touch us. The whole time I stare at her, but she doesn't turn to look at me. Not one fucking time. And I need to say I'm sorry for all the pain I caused. Please give your heart back to me. I'll keep it safe for eternity. We belong together. We've always known it's true. There will never be another. My soul cries out for you. Why didn't I learn to play an instrument? When I was 9, my mother wanted me to play the trumpet. After 2 lessons, the tutor quit because I let the dog piss on his mouthpiece. Why the hell didn't I listen to my mother? You are my beginning. You'll be my end. More than lovers, more than friends. I want you, I want you.
He can't have her. Go ahead and want all day long, douchebag. Sing from the motherfucking rooftops. Play until your fingers fall off. It's too little, too late. She's already mine. Kate isn't the type to have sex with just anyone. And she fucked me all weekend like the world was ending. That has to count for something, doesn't it? And I need to say I'm sorry for all the pain I caused. Please give your heart back to me. I'll keep it safe for eternity. For eternity, you and me. The small crowd that's gathered in the lobby applauds. Dickhead puts his guitar down and walks up to Kate. If he touches her, I will break his fucking hand, I swear to God. He doesn't acknowledge me at all. He's focused only on Kate.
I've been calling you since Friday night. And I stopped by the apartment a few times this weekend, but you were out.
That's right. She wasn't home. She was busy. Now ask her what she was doing. Who she was doing.
I know this is work, but do you think we could go somewhere to talk? Maybe your office?
Say no. 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 Say no.
Okay.
Shit. As she starts to walk away, I grab Kate's arm. I need to talk to you. Her eyes question me.
I'll just be a...
There's something I have to tell you. Now, it's important. I know I sound desperate, but I really don't give a damn. She puts her hand over mine, the one still clasping her arm. She's calm, condescending, like she's talking to a child.
All right, Drew. Let me talk to Billy first, and I'll meet you in your office, okay?
I want to stomp my foot like a 2-year-old. No, it's so not fucking okay. She needs to know where I stand. I have to stake my claim. Throw my hat in the ring. Get my car in the goddamn race. But I drop my hand anyway. Fine. You two have a nice chat. And I make sure I walk away first. I stride toward my office, but I can't help but stop at Aaron's desk when they walk by. As Kate turns to close her office door, our eyes meet, and she smiles at me. And for the first time in my life, I don't know what it means. Is she reassuring me that nothing's changed, that nothing will? Is she saying thank you for bringing that fucknut crawling back to her? I just don't know. And it's driving me crazy. I clench my jaw and stalk toward my own office, slamming the door behind me. And then I pace. Like a soon-to-be father outside the delivery room, waiting to see if everything that means anything to him will come out unscathed. I should have told her, last night, when I had the chance. I should have explained how much she means to me, what I feel for her. I thought I had time. I figured I'd ease into it, slowly work up to it. Stupid. Why didn't I just fucking tell her? God damn it. Maybe she already knows. I mean, I brought her to my apartment. I cuddled with her. I worshipped her. I fucked her without a rubber 3 times. She's got to know. Aaron quietly enters the room. I must look like a disaster because her face is soft with sympathy.
So, Kate and Billy are talking, huh?
I snort. Am I that obvious? She opens her mouth, probably to tell me yes, but closes it and starts again.
No, I just know you, Drew.
I nod. You want me to take a walk, see what I can see or hear? You think that'll work? She smiles.
The CIA would be lucky to have me.
I nod again. Okay, yeah, go do that, Aaron. See what's going on. She walks out, and I go back to wearing a hole in the rug, and pushing my hand through my hair until it sticks up like I've been struck by lightning. A few minutes later, Aaron comes back.
The door's closed, so I couldn't hear anything, but I peeked through the glass. They're sitting in front of her desk, facing each other. He's got his head in his hands, and she's listening to him talk.